Philemon. Open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. It's a small, short little book. If you've never read it, well, you're going to get to read it tonight. We're going to read the entire book of Philemon. You know, I think a lot of questions, a lot of people, they look around and they want to know, what is the Christian life? I think there's been some confusion between the Christian life and the American dream. We kind of somehow mix the two, that, well, a Christian's just someone you've got to, you keep your lawn cut, you dress nice, you don't really mess with people, you don't bother people, you're not honking at people on the interstate, you're just to yourself. Nobody honked at anybody on the way here this evening, I'm sure. But what is Christian life? Well, we need to read the book of Philemon. A lot could be said, a lot of people have ideas, but the Bible is the best place to go when you're looking for answers. So let's read the book of Philemon. Let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. This church was meeting in the house of Philemon. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. You caught that too, right? Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for just this beautiful picture of forgiveness. Help us as we hear from you tonight that it would be your words, or it would be all about you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a small book, Philemon. It didn't take us long to read it. In these 25 verses, there's 12 names. 12 names in 25 verses. That's a lot, and they're not easy. I had to practice these names. Have you ever done that? You've gone through, you've read, and I remember when we were in college, I always felt bad for the people reading the names because, you know, they were apologizing every, you know, five names, especially, in high school even. I graduated with 600 people. There's a lot of people. So I apologize to everyone in there they need to listen to this message, forgiveness. So these 12 names, we're going to look at three. We're going to look at three of these names, and they all have a different picture of forgiveness. The first picture is someone needing forgiveness. The second is someone with the opportunity to forgive. And the third is someone who is encouraging forgiveness. The first, the one needing forgiveness, is Onesimus. Now picture it. Onesimus is the man showing up to Philemon's house with a letter. This letter we just read. It's not the book of Philemon. It's a letter from Paul about Onesimus to Philemon. That's what's happening here. So Philemon gets this at his door, this man who abandoned him, apparently. He was a slave. He used to be a servant for Philemon. We don't really know what he did, but he was some sort of worker for Philemon. And Onesimus shows up after departing because something had gone wrong. If you look at verse 11, he had before been unprofitable. He left him. He abandoned ship. He was absent without leave. There was no reason that he should have left. Onesimus shouldn't stay with Paul without Philemon's consent. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You maybe had a couple friends and or you find out that this guy had done this guy wrong, and he wants to go golfing with you, but this guy, you know, he got mad at him the other day, and they got in a fist fight, and then you're friends with both of them. That's kind of what's going on here. Like, Paul met Onesimus after Onesimus abandoned Philemon, and what am I supposed to do now? He didn't really know why they had been separated, but hoped and prayed that it could get cleared up. And there was something that happened, which is why this is all taking place. See, Onesimus met Paul, and since he met Paul, Paul being who he is, introduced him to his Savior. He introduced him to Christ. And Paul says, Onesimus became my son. My very bowels are, he was my heart. I loved this guy. I love Onesimus. Paul's heart became attached to Onesimus. He was discipling Onesimus. He had won him to the Lord, and he was bringing him up. And somewhere along the way, Onesimus said, you know what? I need to ask forgiveness from someone. I did something wrong. This part of the message here reminds me of another man back in Luke. Would you turn there to Luke chapter number 19? We sing a children's song about this wee little man, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He's kind of pushy. He just said, hey, I'm coming to your house. Get down, I'm coming over. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here's a man who got his priorities right, who did what we heard this morning. We have other gods in our life, and we put them behind, and suddenly money wasn't important to him anymore. He said, I'm going to pay it back, and if I wrong someone, if I did it illegitimately, I'm going to pay them back fourfold. You surely have seen it maybe in your own life when you got saved or you got confronted with something, you wanted to make it right. Going to camp as a kid, you know, you'd go and you'd make decisions, and you'd come home, and you'd have to make things right. I'd have to go to my sister and say, I'm sorry that I don't want to spend time with you. I'm sorry that... If Megan's listening right now, I'm sorry, you know, for all those times. She still gives me a hard time about that. But there were things in Onesimus' life now that he wanted to make right, and this being paramount. His relationship with his former master, his former boss. How's he going to take it? It's fearful, scary. Going to someone you've wronged, knowingly wronged. Sure, you've had a heart change. Sure, you got a letter from a guy in prison, but what if he doesn't take you back? He had a need. He has a need of being forgiven. He had nothing to give. He had nothing to really earn Philemon's trust back except a letter from Paul, who supposedly had a good relationship with Philemon. Onesimus was just kind of like, well, I hope this works. He had a need of being valued. What was he to do? Onesimus needed forgiveness. Philemon was someone who had an opportunity to forgive. Everything that Onesimus needed, Philemon had an opportunity to supply. Consider all the things that Philemon was going to have to do. It's a pretty heavy pill, or a big pill to swallow. Verse 17 is easy enough. Welcome him. Okay, so I open the door. No, not quite. He wants you to welcome him back into his home. Because see, when you're a servant, you live there. You live and you work there. He could have had any job. We don't know what it was, but say he was maybe the family dentist. I don't know if they had dentists back then. Let's just say he was the family dentist. And he just said, I can't stand looking at your teeth anymore. I'm leaving. He's saying, welcome him back. Bring him back. Have him be doing the same things he was doing before, like, as if it's me, as if it's Paul coming and standing before you instead of Onesimus. Transfer his debt, verse 18 and 19. This is the verse we all kind of chuckled at. Verse 18 and 19, if he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. He's saying, yeah, okay, so you're going to send, Philemon's going to send a bill to Paul, who's in prison. This guy who, I mean, it's like Grandpa Paul. You don't send a bill, it's preposterous. You know, it's like having grandma over and letting her sleep in the room, and you know, you feed her and it's, oh grandma, it's so good to have you, and then you know, it comes time day for her to check out and you just slide a bill under her door. You don't do that to grandma, okay? Philemon is not sending a bill to Paul. All right, he's not gonna do it. But what Paul is saying, look, I know who you are, Philemon. See, Philemon had a testimony of being loving and compassionate to the brethren, to Christians. He's saying, Onesimus is a Christian. He got saved. And I want you to treat him as if you would treat any other brother and as you would treat me. Don't just forgive and forget, but this needs to be resolved. So if you have to, if you absolutely have to get this repaid, I'll pay it. But I won't mention how much you owe me. Forgiving Onesimus meant Philemon will have to take these issues into account. It's not just a small thing. I think sometimes we read the Bible and we just kind of read through. I remember as a teenager, so teenagers, listen up. We can get into so much video games and books and novels and all these other things, and it's great fun. But can I tell you, the Bible is awesome. Nothing can take the place of how much God loves you, and how much he cares for you, and how much he's done for you, and how much he has in store for you. That video games and novels and Facebook and Instagram and all the other things, they're nothing. They're less than nothing. And the Lord says, I care for you. I love you. As we read the Bible, we find that he was to care for Onesimus. Not just welcome him in, but care for him. Treat him well. This would be hard. I mean, there are other servants in this house. This isn't the only guy. Can you imagine some of those other servants? Well, isn't that the guy who abandoned Philemon? And now he's back. So as long as you meet this Paul guy and get him to write you a letter, it's like a get-out-of-jail-free pass. Let's go find this Paul guy. Let's go. This could be a very real problem. I mean, imagine in the workplace today. You have somebody who you work with. They just jump ship. They leave. No rhyme, no reason. And then they come back the next day. everything's fine. Or they come back a year later. It's like, no, it's okay. I have a letter from a guy in jail. It's okay. No, it's not. It's not okay. You can't just leave and expect to have your job back. What's going on here? And then, if that wasn't enough, in verse 22, we find Paul's coming back. Paul was going to invest his time. He wants to see a demonstration of forgiveness, a demonstration of love. He says, I know you're going to go above and beyond, but withal, prepare me a lodging. I'm going to come. I know I'm in prison, but I expect through your prayers, I'm going to be able to get out, and I'm going to come see what's happening over at your house, Philemon. I want to see what's happening there in this church. I want to see true Christian faith being shown through forgiveness. Would you look at verse 6? I read and read and read over this verse that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You go back and read verse 5, you're hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Some have taken this verse and said that when you witness, you become more faithful. When you witness, your faith becomes more personal to you. But what I believe this is saying is that when you show forgiveness, you're understanding the reality of the gospel. When you show forgiveness, this effectual working of the Lord in you, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, it's not just good to, it's good to witness, but in context, it's my favorite word, by the way, when I'm talking about the Bible, keep things in context. This book is all about forgiveness. And what a beautiful picture. As we look at the third picture, it's going to reveal a greater picture as you step back of forgiveness. Paul is the third picture, someone who encourages forgiveness. Onesimus had heard the gospel through Paul. Paul had a relationship with Philemon through his missionary journeys and starting churches abroad, and Paul appeals to Philemon. He goes through in all those things we've talked about. He's asked Philemon to receive him, to welcome him, to allow him to pay the debts and receive him as myself. And when you do that, it's like encouraging me, verse number 20 tells us. It's refreshing my bowels. When you receive him like you receive me, it's going to encourage me. Paul's method greatly resembles the master teacher. He was kind of pushy. He was kind of involved in this man's life. He didn't say, well, I'll just see if it's going to get worked out. No, he cared, and so he said something. The truth in love. I think a lot of times we get the truth part and leave out the love, or we do all the loving and we don't get any truth. We have to put the two together. The truth in love, and sometimes the truth is not easy to take, and the truth is not fun to listen to. But if it's given in love, and if it's received knowing it's in love, and it's the truth, it can have a great impact on people's lives, as it did in Philemon and Onesimus' life. We should notice that Philemon had every opportunity to be offended. He should have been, if everything about Christianity he understood was that there are absolute rights and wrongs, that actions have consequences, that Christians must live exemplary lives, then yes, Philemon would be offended. But if God's Holy Spirit had ever convicted Philemon of his need of forgiveness, he wouldn't take offense. Paul, in verse 8, we find he doesn't necessarily pull rank. But he says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, he said, I could tell you what to do. I could tell you that you ought to do this, but instead, do this out of love. I'm going to pay the debt. Oh, that we could say, I want to do this out of love. You see, there's a fourth picture. I know they said there was three, but there's actually four. If you put all these three pictures together and you step back and you look at all three, there's two applications. There's the personal, physical application and spiritual. The first, the physical, is that we will fall into all three of these categories at some point in our lives. We will be in need of forgiveness like Onesimus. Some of you, I should probably ask for forgiveness because when I was a kid, I probably did something really stupid and I don't remember it, and so please forgive me. But you have, at some point in your life, needed forgiveness, just on a personal level. Then there will be some time in your life where you will have the opportunity to forgive. And as Philemon, you will be confronted with a lot of emotions, a lot of problems, but hopefully in the end, the truth of the gospel that I can forgive because I've been forgiven. And then, thirdly, you might even be in an opportunity to intercede between two people. The one who has an opportunity to encourage forgiveness between two who are fighting, between some family members, between some church members. Who knows? You'll have that opportunity. But then there's a spiritual application, and it's the one that is the true application of this message, the true application of the book of Philemon, because we know every book, every story, every page, every word in the Word of God is a crimson thread that points straight to Christ. And we see us, like Onesimus, we have no hope. We have no way of being received by our Heavenly Father. But we have an intercessor. We have someone who stood in the gap and said on Calvary, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's that beautiful word, forgive. We've been forgiven. If you are saved, you have a forgiveness that you should show towards others. That is true Christian faith, showing forgiveness as Christ has forgiven you. Can I challenge you with something tonight? I'm going to. Stop seeking to be right. You know what I mean? Stop seeking in conversations to one-up and to try to be right in an argument. Stop trying to just have influence on people. Well, I'm just going to be a good influence. Stop focusing on self-righteousness, on just being a moral person. Being moral without Christ, you're just as lost. Don't focus on just, well, I believe, well, what does the Bible say? And get involved in people's lives. Truth and love. Being an intercessor between the God who saved your soul and a world that's lost and has no hope of being forgiven. They don't even know that they need forgiveness. They need you to share the truth, to share the love of Christ to them. Be a peacemaker. One who goes out of your way to encourage forgiveness between a loving God and a lost world. Let's all stand, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I have just two questions. The first tonight, if you do not know God's forgiveness, if you don't know God's love, that if you were to die this evening, you don't know where eternity would be. If it would be in heaven, if it would be in hell. Can I ask you tonight? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or look up, but I want to challenge you. Would you come forward? There will be people up front that you can speak to about how you can know the forgiveness of God. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, can I tell you what Paul did? He was a murderer and persecutor of Christians, and God saved his soul. And he can save you as well. And then if you're saved, can I challenge you? Pick one person in your life to disciple, to love, to let be your Onesimus as Paul had his. Would you pray for that person tonight? Bring them to the altar. And then when you have opportunity, speak truth and love to them and encourage them and lead them to Christ. If they are saved, be a discipler to them. If they aren't saved, pray that they would receive Christ. Those are my two challenges to you tonight. As the music plays, I'll lead you in a word of prayer, and Pastor will come. Heavenly Father, we love you. Pray that you would just bless this invitation. Let your Holy Spirit work. In Jesus' name, amen.